Bruce Shapiro, welcome back. Please tell me about Joe Biden's, hanky-panky.
Well, you know, if that's what it is. Joe Biden, of course, has not officially announced whether he's running for president or not. Everyone expects that he is, but he's now got a handsy problem on his hands. A state legislator out in Colorado has accused him, or Nevada rather, has accused him of having his hands on her shoulders, smelled her hair, and otherwise behaved inappropriately at a political event a couple years ago. And the thing about this story and a couple of others that have emerged, most recently actually today in Connecticut, where a similar story emerged from a fundraiser, is that, you know, Biden is a famously, he uses the word tactile politician. He is known for giving hugs to men and women and all sorts of folks, but this sense of boundary violation is coming at a very delicate moment in American political culture, of course, with Me Too probably not having crested, with Me Too really causing a lot of people in public life to recalibrate their boundaries. At another time, in another
I'm sorry
party,
to interrupt, but Me Too hasn't laid a hand on Trump. I mean, heavens above, whatever Biden's done would surely pale into inconsequence beside the presidential groper.
Well, look, my own view is that one of the reasons for the tremendous emotional power of the Me Too movement right now, beyond the inherent injustice in the truly egregious abuses that have surfaced as a result with people like Harvey Weinstein, is that Trump himself, the groper in chief, defies all accountability. And as a consequence, I think you have a search for accountability in other, perhaps more vulnerable quarters. Now, that said, Biden does have a very different, substantive, and complicated set of problems around women's rights, which this question of handsy behavior at rallies, which no one, including the women involved, believes is...
Well, doesn't it go back to Anita Hill?
Well, here's the complication. On the one hand, Biden champions his legislative record on behalf of women's rights as an abortion rights advocate, as the primary sponsor of the Violence Against Women Act, as a champion of battered women shelters and all sorts of other issues when he was in the Senate. But back in 1991, he was the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee when Anita Hill raised her accusations of substantial sexual harassment against then Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas. I was in the room. And I can tell you that what Biden did in front of the cameras in those days was choose the Boys Club over the Senate, over a process that would have enabled verification of Anita Hill's claims. He famously denied a hearing to women who might have corroborated Hill's story. He has never lived that down, and he's never really explained it. That divided record didn't stand in the way when he became Obama's vice president and his other many strengths came to the surface. But now, in a field where you've got at least two very powerful women, Kamala Harris and Amy Klobuchar, running for president, in the year of Me Too, when the presumptive Republican nominee is the groper-in-chief, it is far from clear that Biden will be able to get past his history on the Hill-Thomas controversy. It's a potent and very complicated record that these seemingly second-tier issues of handsy behavior at rallies now forces out to the surface.
Talking to Bruce Shapiro, let's look at the border crisis and Trump's threat to hold up aid to El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, etc.
Well, this is, you know, to say the border crisis keeps deepening is to understate the fact. We do have a crisis. There's always a surge in the spring of migrants. But thanks to this administration's slow processing of asylum claims, its underfunding of services, we have thousands upon thousands of migrants at the border and coming over the border, sleeping under bridges, having inadequate housing conditions, awaiting adjudication of claims. It is a manufactured crisis, but a desperate one. The president's response this week has baffled anyone with any history in immigration or Latin American affairs. He's pointing to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, and saying he's going to deny them foreign aid because those countries have not been stopping the caravans of migrants moving forward. The irony is that actually, let's say in the case of El Salvador, foreign aid has been one of the few things that's been successful in stemming the flood of economic and human rights migrants from the country. It's so strange to be having this argument in past decades, arguments about funding for those countries centered around their awful records as human rights abusers under military dictatorships and U.S. clients, and the arguments in the U.S. Senate where they deserved aid that would enable their armies and police forces to torture and kill people. Now we've got a very different situation in which economic aid that can keep people where they are is now being used as a tool of the president's rhetorical campaign against migrants, against Latin American immigrants. It's a downward rhetorical and political spiral that's poisoning, that's spreading the toxic politics of what is already a poisonous issue here in the U.S.
I think we've got time to look at the politics of disaster funding, Bruce.
Well, it's rather related. The president, let's politely say, has a Latino problem, and let's more broadly say he has a race problem with Latinos. The president and the administration have been very slow to provide aid to Puerto Rico in the wake of Hurricane Maria. And yesterday, a huge disaster bill that sends a whole bunch of money to victims of natural disasters of flooding and hurricanes elsewhere in the country, California, the Midwest, where there have been huge floods thanks to inadequately maintained levees, a $13.45 billion bill stalled in the Senate because Democrats point out that there's hundreds of millions of dollars less than is needed for Puerto Rico. The president does not want to send any aid to Puerto Rico other than its regular food stamp allocation, even though the Commonwealth was devastated by Hurricane Maria. This now has pissed Republicans in the Senate against Democrats. There's a House bill that would, in fact, send much more money to Puerto Rico. But what it is also doing, and this is a delicate game for the Democrats to be playing, is pitting other parts of the country, the Midwest, California, and so on, pitting their interests against those of Puerto Rico. While it is the president who has set this in motion, the Democrats are going to need to be careful that they don't get tarred, they don't get blamed for slowing this down. It's going to be an interesting political fight to watch that will have big consequences in the 2020 election, since California, Illinois, Missouri, these are all big electoral college states, and everybody knows it.
We've only got literally seconds left, but any chance that we're going to see the entire Mueller report?
Oh, I think we are going to see all or most of the Mueller report. The only question is when. You know, the Justice Department keeps saying as soon as possible. The Democrats keep saying we want it today. There actually is a deadline of today. You know, at some point we're going to see most of it. At some point the whole thing, my guess is, will be leaked.
We've got to bail, Bruce. We've got a traffic pile up on the program, but thanks for that. Bruce Shapiro.